Well, good morning. Good to have each one here today. Very thankful that we could all be here. I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Notice something here. This is where we'll start anyway. Just going to read the sixth verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." So the Apostle Paul here, speaking to the church at Corinth, he's talking about himself being a minister, and he's talking about how it should be made manifest and how it should be put into effect. And I think that a minister that stands behind this desk ought to have this type of, what would we say? MO, mode of operation. That's what we say sometimes. Somebody has a MO, a mode of operation. So, not only, though, does it apply to those that stand behind the desk, I think it ought to apply to the congregation at large. The congregation at large were to minister to those that we come in contact with. And I think of this verse. He says, who also, he's talking about Christ, also hath made us able ministers or able servants or helpers of the New Testament. That's the dispensation we live in. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Now, we all know that the letter or the word, we're going by the whole Word of God by the help of the Lord. And Jesus said that that's what he depended on, was the whole Word of the Lord. And that's what we should depend on. And there are some things in there that if we take the Scripture for what it means, and I believe it means what it says and says what it means, if you want to think of it like that, I believe there's things, many things in there that will come across the path of self and across the path of carnality. And we realize we can't continue on down that. That's the letter. That's the letter. That's the Old Testament law that says thou shalt not. That's the New Testament that says, that maybe lists off some things and says, don't let any of those be named once among you. That's the letter. Now, I remember some conversations that I've had, and I remember a discussion I had with someone, and we were discussing a particular behavioral thing. And I'll tell you what it was. It was, we were talking about somebody having liberty to partake of alcohol on a special occasion at a meal, like, you know, go out to have a nice meal with your spouse or something like that and have a glass of wine with it. And I said, well, I can't do that. I don't feel free to do that. There's too much. He said, he was trying to justify it by letters that he had in the Word that he was trying to justify that. And I said, well, okay, you know, we know what that leads to, you know, and the harm that comes, you know, from going down that path. I said the letter doesn't say anything about smoking cigarettes. How do you feel about that? He said, well, everybody knows that's wrong. I said, well, how do you deal with that? You know, I'm wanting to go back to what the verse we read here. It says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. We are to be made us able or capable ministers of the New Testament. So if we are going to be able or capable ministers of the New Testament at large, as a group, as a body of people, then we need to do what it says. He says, not of the letter, not of, well, everybody knows that's wrong. Well, it says right here, it's very plain and simple. Instead of trying to enforce something non-compassionately, sorry if I just made one up there. let's endeavor to do it, he says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. What is the Spirit? He says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Well, remember when God made man in the beginning, he formed him out of the dust of the land, is what the Bible says. And then he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. There was a Spirit that entered into him. You have a Spirit. We want our Spirit to be in tune with the Spirit of God. We want that Spirit of the New Testament gospel to be portrayed. And what is that Spirit? It's a Spirit of reconciliation, isn't it? It's a Spirit of adoption. Let's read some other verses. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and notice a couple verses here. We'll maybe verse 22, Acts chapter 8, and verse 22 beginning. It says, for we know, let me say it again. I meant Romans chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 22. I'm sorry if I told you the wrong thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of what? Of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are in anticipation of being able to join the Lord through eternity. That's where we're at. That's our, you know, how you're going down the highway and you stop at the rest area and you come out. And nowadays it's not so important, but I remember when it was real important to stop at the rest area and go in and see the big map with the thumbtack on it that said, you are here. Today we know where we're at because we have a GPS, or at least we think we know where we're at. But it's important to know where we're at. And where we're at right now in this world is we're in anticipation of being able to join the Lord for eternity. He says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he's made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. This Spirit that can work in your heart and help you come to an understanding, not just of forcing you into being in conformity to the letter. Although the letter is important, we can't have a path to follow if we don't have some definition of what the path is. That makes sense? We got to know what the boundaries are for Christianity, what we can do and not do. There has to be some understanding there, but the Spirit is what's going to work with us and help us to understand why it's important and put that conviction in us where we want to be different and we want to be pleasing to the Lord. He said, for that Spirit here, help with our infirmities, the places that we're not very strong in. I love it when my little grandchildren want to whisper something to me, because it's like, this is a personal little thing I want to tell you. But the unfortunate thing is, I can't hear them. I'd love to hear what, and I think it's so neat when they come to me and they want to whisper something. And I got one in particular that likes to come to me and whisper. And it's like, I just got to smile and give him a hug, because I can't really understand. I have to say, we got to go over here and you got to tell me loud now where I can understand it. But there's an infirmity there that keeps me from hearing what he wants to tell me. You know, the Spirit of the Lord comes and helps us where we're weak, where it just don't click with us. That's what the Spirit wants to come and do. That's what we should be able ministers of. Lord, help us to know how to communicate to the world around us. The Lord loves you, and he wants to help you with your troubles. And you may have a lot of infirmities, but if you will come to the Lord and be redeemed and washed by the blood and commit yourself to him and let the Spirit start working with you, there'll be a lot of things in the letter that'll start making sense to you. But I want to have that Spirit of the Lord working in us where the people will feel that and know that that's what it really is. It's the Spirit of the New Testament. And back up in this same chapter, in verse 15, we're still in Romans chapter 8. In verse 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Because what is the spirit of bondage? It's the letter that killeth. But he says it's, that's what he said in 2 Corinthians. He says, we have not received the spirit of a bondage again of fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we may cry, or we cry, Abba, Father. We can receive the spirit of adoption, which is a spirit of choice, which is a spirit of desire to have you as part of the family. I've never experienced adoption, either adopting or being adopted, but I can only imagine what it would feel like to have a desire to be part of a family and realize I didn't have one, and then somebody come along and say, I would like to adopt you. To me, I think that would be the most incredible thing that I could experience as a person. And many times adoption happens, I realize, when the person that's being adopted is a small child. Maybe we think a lot of times as infants or real small children. But Jesus is willing to extend this to us where we can be adopted and we can cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, this Spirit that is of the New Testament, this Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit You're my child. And when it's our child, we want them to get the letter, don't we? We want them to sit down and be quiet. And on the way over here, my wife was trying to talk on the phone, and we had a lively conversation going on in the second row seating. And I said, y'all need to tone it down back there. Well, I don't think I said that clear enough because they didn't understand. So they didn't tone it down. They just kept yammering back there. So I finally had to say, do you know what tone it down means? It means be quiet. Nani's on the phone. You know, there is something about we have to come into some level of conformity, but I wasn't going to reach back there and smack them. They had to understand, and the Spirit wants us to understand. He wants to give us some guidance and some correction and some nudging. He wants us to know, He wants us to feel that Spirit of adoption and His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are joint heirs with Christ, that we're a son of God. He wants us to have that sense of fellowship that God loves us and He cares about us. And He wants that for every one of us and every one of those folks out there that don't know it yet. Lord, help us to know how to reach them. Let's go to Matthew, the 12th chapter, and notice something here. It's talking about Christ and what He came to minister to here in this old world. Matthew chapter 12, I would like to begin reading. It's not Christ's words, but it's talking about Him. Begin reading verse 15, maybe. He says, but when Jesus knew it, maybe 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against Him, how they might destroy Him. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence, and a great multitude followed Him, and He healed them all, and charged them that they should not make Him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah in the Old Testament, the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put, what, my spirit in him, upon him, and he shall shew judgment to the Gentiles, and he shall not strive, neither cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. We're going to come back and talk about these verses, but I want you to listen to what it says. A bruised reed will he not break, and a smoking flax will he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. All right. Notice the verse 18, he said in the last part of it, I will put my spirit upon him, and I believe it's Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah here, is saying, I'm going to put my spirit on him or on Christ, and he shall shew judgment to the Gentiles. A lot of times we think of judgment as being a time when punishment is meted out. But judgment is being able to impart wisdom and to be able to give understanding. Judgment is something that helps someone that didn't know understand why, understand the what for, understand the reasoning. He says that Christ, he's saying, Matthew, the writer here, is saying that Jesus kind of withdrew himself because he realized that it was important for him to be able to impart a spirit of compassion, of willingness to operate. You know, it's important for us to understand that God wants to adopt you. It's important for us to be able to communicate that to the world at large. The Lord wants to adopt you. He wants you to be His child. He wants you to understand His ways, and He won't tolerate, in the end, He won't tolerate something that doesn't conform to the letter. But won't you come and learn His ways? Won't you come and realize that He loves you? Even in that unregenerated state, He came and died for us. And He wants us to, today, He wants us to be a minister of that spirit of reconciliation, of love, of desire to help someone else. You know, it takes a small person to want to just crush any and everybody. And it takes a big person to want to help any and everybody. Have you ever noticed that in the job market? Have you ever worked with a coworker that always pointed out everything that everybody else did wrong? Just wouldn't give anybody any credit for anything, and they all, no matter how good they did at something, there was always something a little bit wrong with it. How many of you enjoyed working with those kind of people? I'll have to say I never did enjoy that. But I did enjoy working with somebody that would come over and say, hey, you know, this is what I do, and I've seen this help me. You know, if you'll smack that bolt with a hammer when it's rusty about two or three times, it might come loose without breaking off next time. I'm glad somebody comes and tells me those kind of things. If you'll put a little heat on it, sometimes it's the right thing to do is put an impact on it, and sometimes that's the wrong thing to do. You know, and when somebody comes along and says, hey, have you ever tried this? I want to be one of those kind of people. I want to be big enough to share the things that helps me. I want to be big enough in my walk with the Lord to share the things that, and I've found that the Lord wants to do that. He don't want any of us to. How many people do you think the Lord wants to send to hell? Is there any place in the Scripture that says the Lord is looking forward to sending all of humanity to hell? It don't say that. It tells us things like His hand's not shortened, that it cannot save, that it's not His will that what? Any should perish. It tells us the exact opposite of that. He wants every one of us here to make it. So that spirit of the gospel, the thing that Paul said he was to be a minister of, he wants us to be able to convey that to the world around us. The Lord wants to draw you in. He wants you to be part of His kingdom, to be part of His family. And he said here, He'll shew judgment to the Gentiles. Judgment. I want you to take this morning as He will shew understanding. He will shew enlightenment. He will shew or show them the answer why. But notice who He said it was going to. To the Gentiles. That's the people, that's the world for us today. That's the people that don't have any profession. That's the people that we think are hopeless. That's the people that we don't know whether it's worth our time or not. That's the Gentiles. And to us today, because I'm Gentile really, as far as I know, I've never been told any different. He's talking about Christ in the 19th verse. He said, He says, He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He's not going to be tooting his own horn. He's not going to be drawing attention to himself. He's going to be lifting up the cause. So what should we be doing? We should be ministers of that same thing, shouldn't we not? I am always reminded at a point like this of something my sister-in-law said in class. She had a classmate in high school that liked to extol his intellectual capabilities, and he had made a big to-do about demonstrating how much he understood about whatever concept they was talking about in class. I don't know if it was a algebra class or what it was. Might have been trigonometry, who knows. And he wanted everyone to know how well he had done. Maybe they were discussing ACT's test scores or something. I don't remember. Oh, IQ test. Yeah, he was let everybody know what he had scored on an IQ test. Well, it might have been the fact. It might have been the letter. Just how many friends do you think you would get by saying you took an IQ test and you scored 187? You know, especially if you don't know, that means you're pretty smart. I don't know what this guy's number was, but something was going on like that. So Vonda spoke up and said something to the effect of, blessed is he who hath tooted his own horn, so when he hath tooted, everyone will know it hath been tooted, or something like that. You know, this scripture said, he won't strive, neither cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus not coming here, riding on a white horse, ringing the bell, sending the people in front and gathering up the stuff behind and making a big scene. He's talking about someone that is ministering judgment or understanding and knowledge and comprehension and capability. You know, the best thing that I can do in my trade right now is try to equip the next generation to pick up where I left off. That's the best thing I can do. You know, the best thing you can do is equip your little people that's in your house how to pick up and take off from where you are, instead of giving them a bunch of garbage they got to work through to where they got to start from ground zero. The best thing you can do is equip them to not make the same mistakes you made. That's the best thing any of us can do, is help the next generation. That's the biggest thing we can do. The smallest thing we can do is tell them, that's not good enough. You got to do it faster. You got to do it better. That's the letter, you see. And he says, a bruised reed, verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break. How strong is a bruised reed? Now, I think of some of the grasses we have around here, and maybe some of the more hollow, stemmy type things. You know, until you break them, bend them over the first time, they can seem pretty strong. You know, I'm thinking about, I don't know if people ever fish with a cane pole anymore or not, but I remember fishing with a cane pole some. But there was a point of no return with a cane pole that pretty soon it's going to give way. But this is not what this said. A bruised reed, a crushed If you laid your cane pole in the bottom of the boat and you stepped on it, probably wasn't very much good to fish with after that. It probably would break off. It'd probably bend if you caught a hooked a fish with it. He says here, a bruised reed shall he not break. You know, the easiest thing to do to break a bruised reed is tell them, well, that's not good enough. That don't meet the letter of the law. But instead, there's something else that we should minister to those around, and that's the Spirit. The Spirit, the Lord wants you to be His child. He says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax. Flax was something they used for wicks in a lamp. And when they run out of oil to wick up through that flax and light the lamp, the flax began to smoke. It says, a smoking flax shall he not quench. Shall he not snuff out? What's he going to do? He's going to give some understanding. He's going to give some judgment. Going to do some training. Going to do something that'll help them be able to absorb the gospel and be able to allow it to wick up. You know what happens when you put celery in a cup with food coloring in it? Everybody ever done that? It doesn't take too long. You take a stalk, you got some, and you got some food coloring. Celery looks really weird red. But you put red food coloring in a cup of water and stick a stalk of celery in it with the little leaves on it, and you walk off and leave it, and I don't remember how long it takes, but I'd say within 24 hours, but probably a lot sooner than that, the whole thing will be red. Because that red food coloring goes up that stalk and it comes out, and even the leaves will be red. You know what he wants us to be able to do is minister to those smoking flax so that the oil of the gospel, the love of God, will come in and begin to come up through them and begin to demonstrate the things in their lives that the gospel is all about. And then what you'll find is that understanding in the oil of the gospel, if I can use that phrase, will begin to make the changes in people's lives that the letter says has to be. So he says, a smoking flax shall he not quench till he send forth judgment unto victory. Until he gives the understanding to the point that there's victory. You know, there's one thing to be adopted. It's another thing to feel like you fit in. You know, it'd be one thing for someone to adopt me and say, well, your last name is not Adams any longer. It's something else. I don't know. Just make something up. If you adopted me and changed my last name, it's going to take me quite a while to remember that my last name is not Adams any longer. And then for me to start acting like the family that adopted me is going to take even longer than that. You know, I remember when we first got married and Anita changed her last name to match mine. And I think that's the right way you ought to do it, by the way. It took her a while. She forgot. A few times, and I didn't make a big deal out of it, but she forgot a few times. But I think we're still working on whether we just act just exactly the same all the time or not. You know, it's the scripture is talking about here that there'll be judgment, there's going to be understanding, there's going to be here, this is how we ought to do it. And it ends up being a victory march, if you will. A victory march into glory. Isn't that what the gospel is all about? Doesn't he want to help each one of us not only be adopted and accepted and brought in, but he wants that He wants the bruised reed. He doesn't want it to be crushed. How would you fix a cane pole? Anybody ever fixed a broken cane pole? All I know is you toss it and get another one or cut it off, and then you don't have the reaction that you ought to have. But you believe the Lord can fix a cane pole? I guess I feel like He can. I know He can fix broken spirits and He can fix broken lives, and if you can do that, you can surely fix a broken cane pole. Do you think He wants to snuff out the smoking flax? Oh, I see you run out of oil there. Well, done with you. Pinch. You ever put a candle out by just pinching the wick? You can do that if you're careful and quick and not burn yourself. You think the Lord wants to do that? No, He don't want to do that. He wants to put some more oil in. He wants to give you some under... He wants that little flame that's smoldering to be bright again. If you come in from the world, so to speak, He wants the spirit of the gospel to start breathing life and strength and understanding, because He wants you to be victorious. He wants me to be victorious. He wants that those people out there that are in the chains of sin, and their life is a mess, and we look on like they're the most hopeless Gentile there could ever be. He wants them to have potential. He wants them to have hope. He wants them to have some aspiration for something better. Come out from under all of that. These unspoken requests and these requests for lost loved ones and for family members that have got their life in such a mess. The Lord wants, He don't want to just throw them in a trash heap. He wants to fix them. I like fixing stuff, and sometimes people have to make a decision whether it's worth the investment. I'll tell you how much God feels like you're worth. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son that you could be saved. Let's turn to Luke, the 9th chapter. Fifty-first verse, it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." This is at the conclusion of Jesus' ministry here in this earth. "And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him." Notice where they went. They went into a village of the Samaritans. That'd be Gentiles. That'd be people that weren't Jews. You remember what Jesus came for? The smoking flax. The bruised reeds. Amongst His people and for the Gentiles too. And He said, "And He sent messengers before His face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him, and they did not receive Him, because His face was set as though He would go to Jerusalem. And when His disciples came, disciples James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt Thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?'" Boy, these people, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. They can't at least give us a place to stay. They want us to spend 2 weeks, but we can't do that. We're on, you know. Well, Lord, because they're not just jumping through the hoops, I think it better, why don't we just call some fire down? Show them who's boss. Is that the way the Lord works? You know, there's times that we have to say, I'm sorry, I can't give you the shirt off my back, so to speak. I'm sorry, I can't drop what I'm doing and come and resolve your poor planning episode. But we shouldn't try to punish them. I'm talking to myself, all of us here. But he turned and rebuked them, saying, this is what Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. I don't want to be of the spirit that's unlike Christ. I want to have Christ's spirit. I want them to know that the Spirit of the Lord has visited them and not the spirit of the letter. In Matthew 5, we know that's where the Beatitudes are. And he said, blessed this and blessed that. But down towards the end of the chapter, he said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. These are Jesus' words. And I don't see any place for us to have a spirit as a man or a woman to be contentious and belligerent. Lord, help us to be easily entreated. Help us to be able to have the spirit of the gospel, to be able to minister to the smoking flax and the bruised reeds that's all around us. Sometimes it's in our family. Sometimes we're the one that we feel like we're about out of oil and we're kind of smoking. Lord, help us to know how to have the right spirit, to help people with judgment, with understanding, to know how to apply the gospel to their hearts and their lives. I don't want it just to be the preacher, because the preacher needs this. I want it to be the congregation. I want it to be the unit that demonstrates this spirit of the New Testament to the world around us. You pray for me.